sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with, well, not Becky Ivins. She is traveling today. She is having a vacation day, which we wish her well and have a wonderful time with her family. Our special guest this morning, or my special guest this morning, is the guys that own Hayes Electric, Dwayne Wart, Alan Pruitt. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Peachy.
Up on a Saturday morning.
Up on a Saturday.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. I always love having the guys from Hayes Electric. They always have great answers. It is a wonderful morning for you to call in, dear listener, without Becky here. I need your help for content. So you give us a call, have a question for the guys, have a question about real estate. The number is 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. All right, Dwayne, Allen, we're going to start off with just licensed electrician. So one of the big things that we do that Becky has taught us when we're writing a TRR, which is a treatment, repair, and replace, when we're asking a seller to fix something that should be functioning, we always put down, if it's an electrical piece, that it needs to be a licensed electrician.
Right.
What does it take to get a license in Oklahoma?
It takes 4 years of apprenticeship under a licensed electrician. And then after that, you're qualified to test. And the test is
atrocious.
It's brutal. It's just brutal.
Is it a written test or is it a physical?
It's computerized. And there is absolutely, they make sure there is zero way of cheating ever. They go through your books.
Yeah.
Make sure there's nothing written in the margins. If there is, they'll erase it.
Or they give you a different code book.
Or a different code book. And then when you sit at the computer to take your test, there is a camera on your face to make sure that it matches the
that it's you.
That it's you.
Taking the test.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that the real estate test is one of the worst tests I've ever taken in my life. Because the wording, it's not that the content is so difficult.
You know, it's off. But I'm also in a realtor's course just because I'm done with everything
else.
And it's everything to do with wording, and it's and there's not a straightforward answer.
That is exactly it.
It's the answer is just knowledge.
Right.
Of the subject.
Right. And it really aggravated me because it had nothing to do with, I felt like, testing whether you knew the knowledge. It was, can I trick you in knowing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You
know,
welcome to testing in Oklahoma. Yeah. 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 The electrician's test is the same.
Similar.
And you might get the same question multiple times but worded differently.
Yeah,
that you might achieve a slightly different answer depending on how it's worded.
Gotcha. Now, when you get licensed, then there is – it's not for everywhere in the state.
No, and in fact, when you get that first license, you still have to work under a contractor's license. When you have a journeyman's license, that doesn't give you free rein.
Okay.
So that's just to get you –
started.
Step, you know, that's step one. Journeyman electrician with an unlimited license should be able to handle most anything.
Yeah.
But he is still working under
contractor.
A contractor's license.
So, Dwayne, you were saying when we first got here that if someone is getting paid for doing electrical work,
right,
by state statute, they have to be licensed. Is that correct?
Yes.
So somebody hires a contractor and says, or a general handyman can do all sorts of different stuff. But if
they can't do electrical.
Electrical.
Same thing. I would assume the same thing would be with plumbing and HVAC. Because we have taken the time to work under it, study the test, study the codes. And the codes change every 3 years. Okay. So it's kind of like, I'll put it this way. Would you want to go to have surgery by somebody who's not a licensed doctor? It's the same thing with us. Are you going to take the risk of hiring somebody who says, oh, yeah, and they come in there and
right.
they put it together, and then we ultimately end up going back
yeah.
to fix what they did?
Yeah. I mean, they should be fine, right? They watched a YouTube video.
Then there's no problem, right? There's no variations from, yeah. from YouTube.
I mean, it looks simple enough. I can handle it.
So that is a big part. Like when we write a when we're writing a TRR, treatment, repair, or replace something, we always make sure we put a licensed electrician when it comes to electrical work because
yeah, by state statute, has to. When I go check on those reports, you know, for realtors, that's when I see the handyman stuff, and that's typically what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's – I mean, it's almost never a huge thing. It's just not exactly right.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a big thing. I know we have a lot of realtors who listen to this show, and I would encourage you, realtor, that anytime you're dealing with electrical work, it has to be done by a licensed electrician. And one of the things that we as realtors have to show is we're using reasonable skill and care is a key term that they mm-hmm. always use. And if you're not calling for a licensed electrician, as a realtor, you're not using reasonable skill and care.
Right.
So, and then listener, if you're having electrician, if you're having electrical work done, you got to make sure that it's not just that they're licensed, but they're licensed in that area. Because right. every city you have to get licensed
most,
in?
Most cities.
Okay.
Most cities you have to have a license for their area.
Their area. Yes. Then what happens if you're outside a city?
Then you're under state jurisdiction.
Okay.
So that's where your first license, your state Oklahoma state license is. That's the state. So that means that you can go anywhere in the state and work under state jurisdicted areas.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, once you go into like here in Oklahoma City, Bethany, War Acres, Nichols Hills, Moore.
Norman.
Yeah. Norman.
The Village.
Yes.
The Village has their own licenses.
Yeah.
Edmond, Bethany. Guthrie.
It's all
Do
of them.
Do you have to renew those every
yes.
year?
Every year.
Every
year.
Every year.
Yeah. And you have to also prove that you are licensed and bonded as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And what is license? Explain what license and bond.
License
what bonded
is,
means.
I have a contractor's license.
License.
Okay.
And the bond is it's basically insurance. But I'm bonded, insured, workman's comp, all that.
Yeah. Yes,
you have to have all of that stuff in place.
Boy, and that's the part that, especially for a homeowner, that if you're having someone work on your home that is not licensed and bonded.
I actually have an example of something that could happen. One of our guys this last week was on a customer's job on an extension ladder. The extension ladder became unstable. He falls off. He broke his heel. Now, yeah. if that person wasn't licensed under a licensed contractor, they could sue you. Your property, your homeowner's insurance.
Right.
I have all that covered with my guys, you know. And that's something to think about.
Boy.
Something as simple as changing a light out could cause you lots of issues.
That is could be a $1 million save right there
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
If anytime you're doing electrical work, if you're going, I just want the cheapest amount possible, mm-hmm. it could end up costing you big time yeah. in the end. We're to come back if you don't know what breaker panel you have. Boy, you may be in danger. We'll be talking about it right when we come back here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Uh-huh. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We have Dwayne Wirt, Alan Pruitt, our special guest here with Hayes Electric. If you want to call in, you have a question, you can call in at 405-840-1000, 405-840-1000. And on the line right now, we have our money man.
NMLS number 196895.
Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
We're doing absolutely fantastic. Tell us what's happening in the marketplace.
You know, we're still seeing rates, you know, 7%-ish, 6.75% to 7% for each of your loan types, your FHA, VA, conventional financing. We're hearing, you know, maybe end of second quarter with the Fed announcement that we may see some movement, what I call slippage, slightly downward. It had rates aren't falling, Mark, as some are portraying, but we have seen a slight trend in our favor, which I think will promote a lot of activity for home buyers come this spring, this summer.
Yeah, that's what, you know, it's a great market right now. And when there is this mentality of people waiting for something that is just not going to come, that they're going, well, I'm going to, you know, when it's 3%, well, when it's, if it gets to 3%, that means something really, really bad is happening in the world. It was a pandemic that caused us to get there. And if it ever happens, well, prices are going to go back up.
I think if rates fall too quickly, then you're going to see the bidding war that took, you know, took place in 20 and 21 and values going up. I met a couple early this week, and they're looking at a $240,000 home. And I said, you know, if you, you know, you wait around for rates to fall in the five, then it becomes a bidding war. You're buying the same house for 270.
That's exactly.
You know, I mean, let's weigh out the rate today. We can always look at refinancing. Let's weigh out that rate today compared to what you could be and will be purchasing that home for when that day comes.
That's exactly right. In fact, when we get to towards the end of the show, we got a smoking hot deal that's right by Lake Hefner that is in two blocks away from a house that I personally made an offer on. That was when I made the offer, it was two and a half years ago. I made an offer $20,000 over asking price and lost. Mm-hmm. And now you have the opportunity to purchase in an area without getting into a bidding war. It really is a great time to be buying, because if things go down, you can always refinance. Isn't that right, Dean?
Absolutely. You know, and one other thought for the first time buyers, and this is, Mark, you know me, and I love what I do. I think for everyone that wants to own a home should own a home, provided they got the discipline and are ready to do so. But I've got 40, 50 clients that are first-time buyers, pre-approved, ready to go. I've sat down with probably 95% of them that have said, you know, Dean, I'm just going to wait until rates fall. And the net effect will be probably – when rates do fall, they'll get caught up in the bidding war, and Bart, they don't have the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 above list price.
Yep.
To get into that bidding war, and they won't own a home then. And all I can do is educate, and I really am a big fan. And if you want to buy a home, now's the time. Let's get it going. Let's sit down and, you know, put a plan in place.
If you want to connect with Dean Riddell at SWBC Mortgage, his number is 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and you'll see Dean Riddell right there at the top. As always, thanks, Dean.
You bet. Thanks, Mark.
All right, we're here with Alan Pruitt and Dwayne Wirt, the owners of Hayes Electric. You guys are based out of Bethany, right?
Bethany.
Yeah. I grew up in Bethany.
Did you?
I did. I was from Southside Bethany.
Southside.
My back fence was the Bethany, Oklahoma City line. I was right off of Northwest, just south of, I was on Northwest 20th on 23rd Street, back behind the Bethany Hospital. Mm-hmm. It was Bethany Hospital at that point in time.
Yeah, last few years, it's been kind of an empty-ish building.
Yeah, exactly.
It's now a mental health hospital.
Yep. Yeah, they've done a nice job in really kind of redoing that hospital
facility.
Yeah, I spent several times in the ER there from playing in the neighborhood. So let's talk about panels, because there is particular brand or brands of panels that people need to be aware of if they have it in their home. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
There's two of them.
Okay.
Your big one is going to be FPE.
FPE.
Federal Pacific.
Federal Pacific Electric.
And they were like put in from like the 1930s to the 1970s. Is that that one?
60s.
60s.
Yeah, maybe even, I don't know, maybe 50s. I'm not sure.
Maybe some 50s. Okay. It just depended.
Yeah. Mainly, in if you have a 60s era house, you're probably.
Good chance you have this.
Yes.
Okay. And so what's problematic about them?
Well, number one, they lost their UL listing.
Okay.
And
there's a reason why they
lost their UL. The breakers were known for not tripping whatsoever.
And that's a breaker's sole purpose if there's a problem.
Like, that's his one job, right?
That's
his
one
job.
You
have too much electricity coming through.
Too much electricity, or if there's a problem, you know, a short or something, it's supposed to trip, you know, to prevent fire.
Just to show some of the times, you know, you could actually sometimes weld with them stupid things.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not good.
Okay. So if someone has a home that's built in 50s, 60s, 70s, they need to check to make sure FPE. Was there another one?
Be the Zinsco's is the other one that a lot of the insurance companies now are saying, hey, you got that, it's got to, you know, you need to get it.
You can't change out the individual breakers. You need to change the whole.
It's not necessarily a breaker issue.
That one's a bus issue.
Yeah, they melt down.
Well, that's no good.
No, it's not. Yeah, they just go into meltdown.
Yeah.
And you'll know. I mean, if you start having dimming lights and just odd things and stuff, it's best to call an electrician, have it checked.
So if you have a home built anytime during those decades, please, if you don't know today, go check your breaker box.
Yeah.
And then if you have any questions, man, call the guys at Hayes Electric. I'm going to tell you, they're so helpful. I know I've called you guys and went, all right, I'm trying to do something electrical here.
I got a question
with this going on.
I get that a lot, you know, and I'm not an attorney. If you call me, I'm not going to charge you $200 an hour for my information.
That's really good. So make sure to check and know what you have with that. Now, one of the things that I called you guys about that we was dealing with a house is aluminum wiring. That, and Dwayne, you came out and looked at, because there's homes that have aluminum wiring in. That was done during the 70s.
Well,
right?
Early 70s. So yeah.
There was about a 3-year period.
It's like 70 to 73.
Yeah.
That they did it. Now, that would be, in that area, it would be the whole house.
Yeah, okay. And it was outlawed quickly.
Yes. Now, there would be in your homes, let's say, for instance, even after the 70s, anything that was 220, they still ran the 220 stuff in aluminum, but all the lower voltage, the 120 stuff, like for your bedrooms and your lights, that was copper wiring. Okay.
So why would they run aluminum with the high? Because
it was cheaper.
Cheaper. Here's the big thing about aluminum wiring, and we can talk about it afterwards also, but it'll be okay-ish for a long time, but when somebody goes to change a plug or switch out, and that plug or switch is not aluminum rated, and a typical homeowner wouldn't know that.
Sure.
Handyman wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
If it's not aluminum rated, it's just like a battery cable on your battery. Because two dissimilar metals making contact, it grows junk on it and the connection gets bad. It's the same thing. And so it can create big problems in your home if you replace a plug or switch on aluminum wiring and don't know how to properly do it.
Because I know, Dwayne, you were talking about like the connection, like if it gets loose.
Yeah.
It's really problematic with aluminum.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Because aluminum is softer than a copper is.
Yeah.
So if you don't get it torqued down to the proper tightness, then what it does is it expands and contracts.
Yeah.
And then over time, that outer sheathing that's around that wire will start to burn and melt. And then before you know it, you have an issue. You could have, like, say, for instance, it's on the neutral side. You end up having a lost neutral, and then it affects whatever areas that it was on that same circuit.
Wow.
Okay, so then we got to come in, and we got to try to hunt it down.
Yeah.
And find it.
So I want to talk about that, because we had the experience of...
Yeah, there's more to talk about.
How do I know where this thing goes to without sticking my finger in there and seeing what happens? We'll come back right here on Oklahoma Real Estate On The Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate On The Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, with special guests Dwayne Wirt, Alan Pruitt from Hayes Electric. And it is time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Or you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites. You'll see Robbins Roofing right there. Today, our word of the day is Amperage.
Amperage.
That'd be a great band name. There's got to be a band name named Amperage. So... here's what I'm going to tell you what this definition is, then you guys can really kind of bring it out in layman's terms with it. It's measure of amps, the amount of electrical charge that is flowing through a system, or alternatively, the maximum amount of electric current that a system is capable of handling safely.
Yeah. I said it earlier. It's the same as horsepower and torque on a car.
Yeah.
Voltage is your horsepower. It's how quickly you can get there. Amperage is your torque. That's what's sitting you back in the seat. You know, it's the punch, you know. And so another good analogy would be a garden hose. If you have a large amount of pressure going through a small garden hose, that would be the same as a high amperage rating. It's just blasting
through.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you determine, like, how, you know, you look at a panel, like every panel to me looks the same. Like, I got no idea whether it's, you know, has all the right stuff. But you guys look and go, well, that particular wire is this particular size or this particular type of material it's used from?
Yeah, so that's there. A lot of that there would be experience. So, like when a person who's an apprentice comes in, they're not going to know the wire sizes. They're not going to know what the amperage rating is.
Yeah.
Okay. So what the companies have done is that through years of testing, they know exactly how long a piece of wire is going to be rated for. All right, that it can handle this amperage before it melts down. Okay, so we automatically know when we pop open a panel, we're looking, and let's say you got a number 12 wire. Well, the max that it can handle is 20 amps, okay, over X amount of periods of hours.
Okay.
So it can fully draw. Well, let's say, for instance, somebody's gone off and they've had problems with the issues, because a lot of these older homes, when they built them, you know, 4 to 6 circuits, okay. Well, back in that time, they didn't have microwaves. They didn't have George Foreman cookers. They didn't have all these goodies that we got now. Okay. And so they start plugging stuff in, and then all of a sudden their breakers start tripping. All right. Well, what are they going to do? A lot of them, and people say, well, can't you put it on a bigger size breaker? No. Do you want your house to catch on fire?
Yeah. Wires size specifically, or breakers are sized specifically to the wire size.
Okay.
So if you have a number 12, it goes on a 20-amp breaker. And we've seen it a million times, people, especially in kitchens like he was mentioning, where, well, we just kept throwing the breaker, so we put a bigger breaker on it.
So they just put a bigger breaker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if they've or if they've had an old fuse panel, old Edison-based fuses.
Yeah.
I've actually seen them where they've taken pennies and stuck them in there and then put the fuse back in.
Which is just unlimited supply of power going through there.
I've seen that.
You know, and you'll get some old timers like, oh, it's fine.
Well, it's fine until it's not.
It's fine until it's not. Once there's a problem and that fuse or breaker won't stop, there's nothing to stop the short from just catching the wire on fire and, you know, goes downhill from there.
Wow.
You know, and I hate for our conversation to be gloom and doom, you know, because typical electrical is not that way. You know,
it's not, bright and light.
Yeah, it's not gloom and doom. It's not as long as a licensed electrician has looked at it, you know, and says, looks fine, you should be good for a long time.
So for a layman like myself, how would I know whether I have aluminum wire or copper wire in my house?
You just have to pull the panel cover off and look, or you could pull a plug or switch out and look. But
if you see, if you see a silver wire,
yes,
then you have aluminum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And the copper, is there anything else that's been used through
there
the years?
There is. And that's why I'd say, you know, if you're not fairly good at looking at that stuff or knowing what you're looking at, is to have an electrician look, because there's some in-betweens. There was a copper clad,
which is coming back, and according to 23 code.
What is that?
It's aluminum wrapped in copper.
Okay.
So, you
is
know.
It, I mean, that is it just because of the cost of copper going up that they've it's coming back, or what's
we're not part of that decision making process. You know, we're stuck with what they give us.
Is every state different with this? Is it a state by state issue, or is this a national UL?
The code book says national electrical code on it.
Okay.
Now, state to state, they can the authority having jurisdiction, which would be your inspectors, they have the ability to add to as they see fit. But they can't take anything away from the code.
Gotcha. So each state can stack up higher, but you can't go lower.
So, for instance.
Now ask me if going lower happens.
Alan, does going lower happen?
No. No.
Not here.
Not here.
We have been in other places where we looked and we're like, you know, they said, well, this is how they do it here, and I'm like, that's not even code.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, that's not for me to decide. Whenever we do something, we do it right. You know.
That's the critical part of going. I know for you guys, it's you have a, you know, when you're licensed, it can come back in 5 or 10 years. It's not just about the moment that you do it.
That's right. I have to sleep at night, and if I, you know,
yeah,
if some of my guys had, you know, God forbid, had done something weird, you know, it comes back to me.
Yeah.
My license, you know, my contractor's license, and I'm the one that has to pay for it. So
that's it.
Everything needs to be done properly.
If you have a question for the guys from Hayes Electric, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000, and join the conversation that we're having. Now, is there something that is your favorite thing to wire, and is there something that is the worst thing to
No,
wire?
I personally, myself, I love it all.
You love
See,
it all?
See, for me, I don't work for a living. I play for a living. Okay, and I know that sounds funny. You always kind of, what cracks me up is I'll go into a homeowner's home, okay, and let's say it's a simple switch to change out. Or a simple plug. Okay. Now, mind you, I've been doing this for 20 plus years. Okay. And I'll go in there and be like, okay, it's just this. I'm going to change out the plug. Okay. And then, you going to turn the circuit off? No. But that's because I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this long enough. I know what's going to get me zapped and what's not going to get me zapped.
See, and I turn everything off if I have to deal with electricity.
And the ultimate question, have you ever been shocked? Yeah.
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 You know,
sometimes I need it just to remind myself, you know, that it hurts and to pay attention.
You know, but the next question is, you know, they're like, well, I'm having this problem with this issue. Okay. Now, if a breaker is doing its job properly, sometimes what will happen is when it has a short, it will clear itself. Well, we'll turn on the breaker, and if it's already cleared itself, which for me most of the time is it has happened, it clears it. Well, I can't fix something if I can't find where it's at, which means I need to really have it on so I can see exactly where in the line it's gone bad.
Yeah, it stinks, but sometimes you go to a customer's house and, you know, it's like going to the mechanic with a car that vibrates, you know, and it doesn't do it for the mechanic, you know, and I'll just have to tell them, look, I'm sorry, call me when it does it again.
Yeah.
And then don't do anything. You know, maybe when I get back, it'll do it again and I can see it and then I can find it.
Yeah. It's the little gremlins.
The little gremlins. That's what, you know, I know that the thing that I just don't mess with at all is 220. Like, it. I know you guys are like, if it's a 220 thing, I'm calling you guys. I'm not.
It's just two 110s, man.
It just freaks me out. Right. Mm-hmm. Going, there's, the risk is kind of like, to me, it's going from a low dive to a high dive.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
I've had my fair share of 220 mishaps. I mean, if you're in the trade, it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, either you're not paying good enough attention or something just snuck up on you.
Yeah. Something that you didn't see coming.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have come off a ladder and landed on my back and said, well, that hurt. I'm going to sit down in here and have a soda real quick and think about that before I get back in it because it hurt, you know. But, you know, you live and learn.
So I've asked you guys before about, like, I have this issue in my house that I just can't resolve, and it's with an arc fault breaker because my printer keeps every time it did this morning when I was printing off the call sheet that I used during the show, it always trips the breaker when I'm about to print something off, that arc fault.
All right. Arc faults are, number one, when they first came out with them, everybody's having issues with them tripping, no matter what. I mean, it didn't matter if it was TVs. It didn't matter if it was vacuums. Or
how old is your house?
It is 11 years old.
11 years old.
I replace it.
You replace it, yeah. You probably, if that's one of the original ones, they were then a little more problematic.
Updated arc fault.
Yeah,
may take care of that.
May not be so sensitive.
So when can you guys come out? Because I don't replace breakers.
Call us.
I will call you guys. Yeah. I will have you because that is a.
And then from there,
it's such an aggravation.
Yeah, and then from there, if that doesn't fix it,
yeah,
then we got to just start from the next thing. You swap out that go get a printer and get a different one and see if that does it.
See if it does it from the part of it.
There's something about that printer that it doesn't like.
Like.
It happens.
Yeah. I want to tell you, sometimes I want to take that printer and throw it through the window, but that would just, it is an aggravation level to an end that, so if we can get that resolved, you will not only
Yeah. See, and then when you start going out, let's say you start changing panels out, getting rid of an old panel, okay, and the biggest one that I always hear is, you know, you go and you replace the service and change out the panel and, you know, get it all, and we got to put all the goodies in it, bells and whistles, all right, that we have to have now.
Yeah.
Customer call, well, you just redid the whole electrical in the house. No. The only thing we replaced was your panel.
That is not all
the
electrical.
We didn't add circuitry for all your extra goodies, you know, because that's not going to be covered in it.
I want to know how many goodies can I plug in to one socket. That's what I'm going to ask you when we come back right here in Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the southwest corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd just west of Meridian at 505 East Main Street in Yukon, and on May Avenue just north of Hefner Road. Today, our smoking hot deal is right around Lake Hefner, just on the south side of Stars and Stripes. right off of Portland Avenue that goes into Lake Hefner, 3629 Northwest 71st Street. This is a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath, built in 1965. So it means we need to take a look at the panels, right?
Take a peek.
That's right. And it's almost 3,000 square feet. And this, if you are one, and we hear this all the time, who want to be around Lake Hefner, and you are needing these bedrooms, you're looking at the sizes, there's one that you need to see. And it is priced at $355,000. That is $120 a square foot, which I'm telling you, that is a low per square footage for that area. I told you guys earlier, I made an offer on a house two blocks from this that was way over $120 a square foot and did not win. So I would encourage you, if that ringing a bell for you, go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings. You can take a look for yourself. And there are lots of people who are thinking about doing something this year in real estate. If that is you, please give us a call at the office. Have a conversation. Let's begin the process to strategize what we can do in the future. Number to call the office, 405-722-3232. All right, we're here, the last segment, guys, with guys from Hayes Electric, and we're talking all things about the electrical system. And so I want to know, how many things can I plug into one plug?
There's not a standard, okay?
Good, because that's what I keep telling my wife. I can just add more.
Well, it's has everything to do with how much draw you have on the circuit. You're not supposed to exceed 16 amps of a 20-amp circuit. And to be honest, you could probably plug a lot of things in there as long as we're not talking about the kitchen. If we're talking about bedrooms, you could probably plug a lot of things in there, because the idea that you're going to be using all those things at one time and drawing power with all those things at one time is probably fairly highly unlikely.
What things in a home are drawing the most power?
Anything that creates heat, like space heaters. Because people, let's be honest, people still are using space heaters.
Yeah.
Okay. And they don't tell you the amperage draw. They tell you the wattage.
So that's what sometimes is confusing to me. It's like, I have no idea what ampage is being drawn
it
from.
It has
this.
A wattage on it. Ohm's law is a calculation. So if it's a
– don't get mathy on me, Alan.
Well, it's a simple thing.
Okay.
It's a simple thing. If you have a 120-volt plug-in item like a space heater and it says it's 1,500 watts, you take that 1,500 watts and divide it by 120, and that's going to tell you how many amps it's drawing.
Okay.
You know, at any given time.
Well, and our word of the day was amperage, and I said that was a great name for a band, and show producer Mike Gannon absolutely nailed it and said, yeah, we do have the amps.
The amps.
And it was connected to what other band?
The Pixies and the Breeders, the old song from the Pixies, Here Comes Your Man. And in the 90s, there was a song, Cannonball One-Hit Wonder. Mm-hmm. And that's them. And they're going on tour with Olivia Rodrigo. So if you got a teenage girl, you're going to see the Breeders on stage as the opening act.
I knew it had to be a great band name right there. That's great. All right. So if someone's looking where they're having problems with GFCI, that's kind of the biggest thing that every inspection I've ever done, I think, has at least one plug where GFCI is bad.
If you're having GFCI problems, don't feel like you're alone. That'd be the first thing I would tell you.
So it's ground fault circuit interrupter.
Right.
And so how do people there's always a test and a reset button, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's on them. So
there's also sometimes light. Well, there is a light on them too, but they change companies keeps constantly changing. They don't leave them to where, like, okay, if you see the light on, that means it's tripped. Or if you see the light on, that means it's on. It depends upon what they decided to do. So, I mean, even you can't go based off of that light either.
Okay, because that drives me nuts. Because there's a green,
there's no standard.
Like there's no, okay, so there is no standard on that. Because there's one that I put, you know, that's like a green light means that it's bad, I think. Not, yeah. And I would think green means good. And then there's like, if it's not on, it's.
I have some in my house that if they're on, there's a red light.
That so, the red light means it's good?
It's on. Yeah.
Good to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
So don't pay attention to the light.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
I always tell homeowners, if you're having a problem with something like that, just take a lamp and plug it in and have the lamp, you know, make sure it's on.
Uh-huh.
Go to a different plug that you know, make sure it's on, then take it over to that GFI, plug it in, and see if it's on. If it doesn't, try to reset that little trip button. If it doesn't, then, you know,
call your electrician.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Now, newer homes often now are putting all the GFCI and ARC all in the panel instead of the plug.
At
is
least,
that correct?
At least we are. That's how we do it because it's a cost issue.
Yeah.
Okay, because when you got an X amount cost on, an ARC fault GFI breaker, because all homes now have to be ARC faulted that are 110.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So if it's going to have an ARC fault and a GFI on it, like in a bathroom or a kitchen or anything that's within 6 feet of water, okay, or even your refrigerator has water going to it, it's supposed to have it on there, wash machine, whatever.
All around.
Uh-huh. If it trips, you know, you're spending more money if you do the ARC fault and the GFI.
Gotcha. Look. If you need the guys from Hayes Electric, go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites. You'll see them right there. Alan Pruitt, Dwayne Wirt, thank you so much for being with us.
You bet.
You guys, listeners, have a great week.
And may all of your wishes come true. May each day.